Thanks for joining us for today's message. We encourage you to email us and let us know what God is currently doing in your life. Or if you'd like to support the ministry financially, you can do so here on our website. For now, we hope you enjoy this message. Thanks for tuning in today.
Well, good evening, everyone. You know, it's really fun to come out. You know, for all of us, every day is a journey of faith. But as for pastors, you know, we always believe in God that people will come out and just simply recognize and value this time that we set aside. It's, again, for all of us, I believe it's more than tradition. We know we need this midweek shot in the arm. Can I have an amen? Just to help us to grow in the truth of God's word. The Bible says in Psalms 103:20 or 107:20, it says that God sent his word to heal us. He sent his word to heal us and to deliver us from our destruction. I always tell people that we're really good at self-destruction, self-destructing everything about our lives. We're good at that because of the fallen nature. But praise God, the greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. And that we can please the Lord and become more like him in the earth. I want you to open your Bibles to 1 John. You know, we've been doing 1 John, the 4th chapter. We'll begin there, even though we'll be coming back to this chapter as we journey through this message tonight. But you know, we started this series on the subject of faith, and you know, faith is so important for the days we're living in. Faith is, in the most simplest form, faith is trusting God with your life. Faith is trusting God that no matter what's going on around the world, in the world, we are safe in our walk and journey with God because we're trusting him all the way. If you agree, say amen. But anyway, there's a scripture that, you know, that so applies to the subject of faith and how faith is activated. And that is Galatians 5:6. It says that faith worketh by love. And the word worketh there is the word energio, where we get the English word energy. So faith is energized by love. So what does that mean? So when we at times in our journey get out of love, our faith stops working. Our faith is working at its highest level when we're operating in love. Amen. I said amen. And so tonight we want to talk about the subject of the God kind of love. In the Bible, there really are four different kinds of love. There is agape love, which is the highest expression of God. God's will in the earth is the expression of his will regarding us as his people. Agape love. Then there's storge love, and there's phileo love and eros love. And eros is the sexual side. Storge is like the love you have for your dog. And phileo love is the kind of love you have for other people. You know, yeah, friends and right. But agape love is the highest form of love. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that when it's exercised, love never fails. I said, love never fails. There would never be divorce. Now listen, there'd never be a divorce if each party, it takes two, each party would just simply walk in the love of God. There'd never be divorce, never. Amen. There'd never be a war if everybody walked in love. That's the power of love. It really does never fail. I'm talking about the God kind of love. So anyway, 1 John 4, let's go ahead and read verse 7. It says, brethren, well, excuse me, I'm in 2. I'll go to 2 in a second. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. But he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Interesting how he's writing to the church. Amen. He's writing to the church, and so he's addressing that in the church. There'll be times where people just simply refuse to walk in love, and then we end up suffering the consequences because of it, which we'll see in a moment what that might be. But God is love. That is the nature of our Creator. He's love from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. God doesn't have love. He is love. If he just had love, then maybe he's got something else. But his whole nature is love. And you're here tonight, praise God, because God's love was manifested in your life. You're not here tonight because you're just a special creature. I mean, in the sense of yourself. You're here tonight because God touched your life in a supernatural way and has been changing it ever since. If you agree, say amen to that. But let's go back to the beginning. When God created Adam, the Bible says he created him in his image and in his likeness. And here's what happened. He, in Genesis, the second chapter, verse 7, the Bible says that God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. And the Bible says man became a living person. Now, the breath he breathed into him was two things. He breathed into him the presence of the Holy Spirit, and he breathed into him the nature of God. So Adam, on the outside, he was earth-like, but on the inside, he was God-like. And what was he like? He was full of love. Adam was the first love creature. Amen. He was filled with love. Praise God. He was filled with the nature of God. And out of that nature, Galatians 5 describes what that nature is. It is love, agape love. Then there's joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So this was what Adam was like on the inside. He had all nine of these divine characteristics. Amen. And that's what the devil was after. The devil was after to destroy the character of God in Adam's life. Amen. How many you like the nine fruit of the Spirit? It's called the fruit of the Spirit. We like that. And it's interesting they calls it fruit. Listen, why? Because for you to reap it in your life, you have to sow it. You have to seed it. We always want somebody to love us first and then we'll love them. No. God loved us even while we were yet sinners and died for us. He exemplified love first and foremost. Now, go back to Genesis, the second chapter. We'll spend a little time here and then we'll go back to 1 John. Now, in Genesis 2, the Bible says, after he created everything, he said, it isn't good for man to be alone. This is the Living Bible says this. It isn't good for man to be alone. I will make a companion for him, a helper suited to his needs. Amen. So God gave Adam a female companion, now listen, to pour his love into. And I know as men, you know, that's sometimes maybe the greatest challenge we have is pouring our love into our mates. But that is first and foremost the responsibility. We first pour into them, and then because we do, that return of blessing or love comes back to us. And all the men say amen to that. Wow, I think there were three men that said amen. Verse 20, and all the men said, oh me. In verse 21, so the Lord God caused the man to fall asleep into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God, that's Jesus, took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. And at last the man explained, this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. Amen. Today we have such a confused world that we are trying to figure out if we're a man or a woman. All you gotta do is look in the mirror and the plumbing will tell you. And I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but God made it very simple. Man makes it very hard. Why? Because he wants to rebel against the very nature of God. If you agree, say amen. If you're a man and you wanna become a woman, what that is, and it is what it is. I love people, I don't care who they are, but that's lust. And that's called lust in its highest expression. It's called lust. It's a distortion of love. It's a perversion of love. And you can be free from that. You can get free from that kind of direction in your life, but you gotta want it. But that's why we have the problems we have today as far as the sexual side of humanity. Okay, let's go on. So she will be called woman because she was taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. And the two are united into one. And I wrote this down, with God or with love in the center of that union. Let me say it again, with love in the center of that union. I mean, why do we quarrel? Why do we fight? Why do we, you know, butt heads? It's because we are crossing the line of love to express and wanting our own will above God's. That went over good too, also. So what happened to God's first two children of love? Well, we know they transgressed the commandments of God. And in doing so, God's nature departed from there. The nature of love departed from their nature. Now they're dealing with what Galatians 5 says. Now they're dealing with and have to confront the works of the flesh. You'll find those in Galatians 5, verse 19, okay? No longer are they motivated by love, even though remember, the Lord commanded them to love. How many believe that if God commands something of you, he graces you to do it? Amen. But they would also have to be dealing with this thing called the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So they transgressed God's word, but the good thing about it, and that's what the gospel is about, that God didn't leave them in that state. He provided a means back to God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to rescue and to save us. Now, go back now to 1 John, the fourth chapter. 1 John, the fourth chapter. Amen. We're going to just go back and forth here for a little moment, and we'll end up where we're supposed to be. In 1 John 4, verse 9, it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. Say toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now the word propitiation simply means an atoning victim. Someone to take our place. Amen. God, incarnate in flesh, the second person of the Godhead, took our place, hallelujah, and became sin for us, the Bible says, who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Come on, can you shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Amen. It is a good place to clap. God provided the means for us to be in right standing with him, and it's through our faith in the work of Jesus Christ, but also in our obedience to what he established in his word regarding this love life. Amen. So when Jesus died on the cross, that was God's highest expression of love, that he would himself, remember in the book of just all these fun scriptures, but in the book of Genesis, I'm not sure where it's at. I think it's that 21st or 22nd chapter when Abraham offered up Isaac on the cross, or excuse me, on the altar, and he's about to drive that knife into his heart. The angels stopped Abraham and said, "Abraham, Abraham." Wow, I'm telling you, man, Abraham was going to enforce the covenant, because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews 11 chapter, Abraham believed that if he offered up his son on the altar, God would raise him from the dead. Whoa! Are you all dead tonight? Is that exciting? You talk about faith. You talk about faith. You talk about someone who was trusting God. He didn't understand it, but he was trusting God. Okay, God, this is covenant. If I'm going to give you, lay down my son, I'm expecting you to raise him from the dead. And all was a parallel, the type and shadow of God said, yes, son, yes, he's already been raised up, because when Abraham did that, that gave God legal access to bring his son into the earth and offer up him on the altar and to raise him from the dead for you and I. Is that awesome? Now give God a good clap offering. Believe that. Amen. So many things that we don't understand, but we learn as we go along. So love gave his life in exchange for ours. Love provided mercy and forgiveness for us so that we could be restored to our Creator. And it's love that continues to give us a hope and a future. When you walk in love, God is in covenant with you. And at that point in your life, you have access to the fullness of his power and his favor. That's why the devil attacks the love relationships between in all of our relationships. All right. Now, John 3:16. Now, I'm going to quote, I hope you have the King James here. I want to quote. And now, let's all read this out loud together. Go ahead. Very popular scripture, but what a powerful scripture. If you believe it, it's a powerful scripture. Amen. Now, I wanted her to pace this up, because God, remember the Bible says God is love, right? Wait, work with me. Is God love or not? All right. He doesn't have love. He is love. So I wrote this out. For love so loved the fallen world, that love gave his only begotten Son of love, that whosoever believes in, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on love, that's amplified, should not perish but have an everlasting life of love. Isn't that good? Yeah. All right, let's do it again. You read it out loud.
For love so loved the fallen world, that love gave
That is good, isn't it? Okay. See, I sit in my office and I get these things from the Lord and I get so excited, but there's no one to shout hallelujah. So why don't you help me shout hallelujah for me? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of this stuff, I just get tickled because the Holy Ghost talks to you. And it's just so neat to know that he cares enough to inspire us from the Word of God. How many of you remember reading the Bible before you were saved and you understood nothing from it? Raise your hand. You understood nothing. Isn't it exciting that God is so gracious and he's such a wonderful father that he inspires us to see the things that he wants us to see so that we become more like him? It's wonderful. Just a wonderful thing. Amen. Now turn to John, the 13th chapter. John 13. In John, the 13th chapter, let me just go ahead and prep it before I read this portion of scripture. First of all, the betrayal of Jesus is in full force. In fact, verse 27 in John 13 says that Satan entered Judas. Imagine that. See, Judas had 3.5 years to get free from greed. But we know from the scriptures that in that process of time, in 3.5 years, he was stealing from the bag. That just goes to show you, though it doesn't say it, but they were doing it. They were taking up offerings for Jesus. Jesus didn't have a money tree in the backyard, and he just went out in the morning, plucked off some money, and so he could provide for the disciples. So sometimes we just have to be creative in our thinking. So he received offerings in his meetings. And so what was Judas? God, Jesus specifically made him overseer of the bag. Why? So that he, Judas, could conquer the spirit of greed. But instead of conquering it and asking help from God, even from the Lord, he just kept stealing from the bag until, of course, greed got a hold of him and Satan entered his life for betrayal. So that's what was going on. I just wanted you to know that. Verse 35, or 34. A new commandment, Jesus said to his disciples, I give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, what? By this love in motion, shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Did you know that? I'm just trying to help you so that you learn. In the 40 years that we've been here, going on 41 now this June, the community has never, ever caused us one problem. Not one. Sinners in the shopping malls have never caused us a problem. Neighbors that we live by never caused us a problem. It was always the body of Christ. Just to show you that there is a real warfare in everyone's life. And we can choose whether we're going to yield to the spirit of this world or we're going to yield to the spirit of love. Now, what's so interesting about life is this, is that when we get, and we'll see from an example here in a moment, when we get hurt, wounded, offended, whatever you want to call it, we have a choice to make at that time. And that is to chew on that and allow that to take root in our hearts, or to let it go, knowing that we've already been guilty of that crime, whatever it may be, and therefore we have no excuse to hold on to that, but to let it go and walk by faith in love. And by every time we do that, we grow a little bit more in Christ. We become a little bit more rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus Christ. I'm just trying to help all of you. Because see, all of us here tonight, we're all sitting here. I can look at all across the wonderful scope of these beautiful, beautiful people. And that every one of us are broken in some areas of our lives. Every one of us have been hurt, wounded, betrayed, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, every one of us. But what are we going to do with it when it happens? When we always believe that the other person should be the one that responds when you are the one responsible to respond no matter what. I mean, respond to what God would say in his word. By this love shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. By this, all men shall know. That's why the enemy attacks congregations. He starts with families. He starts with marriages. Then he starts with sibling against sibling, which we're going to look at in a second. All this going on, and we're not recognizing who's the root, what the root cause of it is. And that's the enemy of our souls. Now go back to 1 John 2. 1 John 2. I'm going to read verse just a little bit more. Verse 7. Now, brethren, this is John writing. He was known as the disciple of love, okay? And isn't it interesting? Out of all 12 disciples, he's the only one that died a natural death. The only one. Why? Because he had learned, he had such a heart of love. He had learned that he was going to stay in love no matter what. And they did a lot of horrific things to him, but he never got out of love. Now, I don't even know. Has anybody ever studied the history on that he was tarred and feathered at one point? History says that. I don't know. But, you know, wouldn't that kind of tick you off? But he stayed in love. And he lived out his life in love. He died in love. Let's go. I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. Now, from the beginning, that is referencing Genesis 1, okay? The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. It's always been a message of love. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. He that saith he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. Isn't that amazing that he had to write that? Now, the word hate in the Greek means to detest. I wrote it down. It means to detest so as to persecute. Let me give you an example. You get in a fight with your wife. And what comes next? The silent treatment. Why? Because he's going to pay or she's going to pay until, you know, she fesses up. And so what has happened? The more silent you become, the deeper rooted that thing becomes. You're not getting anything resolved. When if immediately you would respond with repentance or confession or transparency, sharing the hurts and the feelings that you have, and then the other person responds with empathy and love, how many agree there'd be healing a lot quicker? Amen. It's funny because nobody's moving out there. I'm just sharing love with you. Amen. I feel the love. Hallelujah. Verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. Watch this. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Do you know what the word stumbling means? It's the word scandalon. It's that bait. It's called a bait trap. And you know, we talked about that. You know, in Africa, they create a small cage, just enough. There's not even no door, but just a cage with a small, just enough for that monkey to get his hand into, and they put a banana in there, and that monkey reaches in, and it's on a stake, of course, you know, so cage can't move, and he gets his hand in there, just enough to squeeze it in there, and he grabs a banana, and the monkey is so stubborn that he refuses to let go, even though the guy, the tribesman walks up and takes a club, and bam, hits him on the head and has monkey soup for supper. That's exactly what he's saying there. When you walk in love, you will never be able to let the devil trip you up. You will never take the bait and hold on to it, whatever it is. I know there's some things that are more serious than others, I understand. You know, really some serious situations where maybe there has to be a process of, you know, of healing. But for most things, for most little misunderstandings and, you know, that we have with each other or different opinions that we may have, why should we start a war over it? Amen. Can I have an amen to that? Amen. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. So here you are, just so determined you're going to have your way. I mean, they can go to hell. I mean, people say, Christians say that. Instead of stopping and saying, hold it now. What is this going to cost me? What is this going to cost my family? Remember when Satan attacks your life? He's after your seed. I don't know if you value your seed, but I sure do. I value my children and my grandchildren. And I know through the years I've caused hurt and pain, whether it's with my wife or with my family. And guess what? I live with that. You bear the scars of that. But no matter what, if you just keep loving and staying in love, God will make it right. I said, God will make it right. Can I have an amen? Now let's go and look at an example of the absence of love and the presence of offense way back in the beginning. Genesis 4. Genesis 4, verse 1. If you're getting something out of this, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And Adam knew Eve as his wife, and she became pregnant, and she bore Cain. And she said, I've gotten and gained a man with the help of the Lord. And next she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep. And Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the course of time, King James says the process of time, the course of time, over time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of the fat portions. And the Lord had respect and regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no respect or regard. And I mean, for years I stumbled over this because I actually believed I always thought it had to do with the offering. You know, he brought him of the ground instead of the blood, but that had nothing to do with it. He brought to God an offering infected by an evil heart, an offended heart, an angry heart, an indignant and offended heart. That's what God was not pleased with. In fact, you don't have this on the screen because Tina, so that's fine. Hebrews 11:4, the Message Bible, listen to this. It says this, by an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. It was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. That's what God noticed and approved as righteous. After all these centuries, that belief, what belief? God's love in action, continues to catch our notice. So all Cain had to do was repent for what the warfare that was going on the inside of him. How many relationships have been murdered because we refuse to let go of stuff and let God handle it? We suffer immensely because of that. And I wrote, let me finish this. But for Cain, Cain, he had no respect or reward. So Cain was exceedingly angry, indignant. I mean, that kid he created a temper that was out of control. And listen, anger is one of the greatest problems in the body of Christ today. People, their fuses they don't have a fuse. But isn't it interesting that the last fruit of the Spirit, the first fruit of the Spirit is love, and the last fruit is self-control. And when you got love and self-control, everything else flows beautifully in the middle. He was angry, indignant, and he looked sad and depressed. And the Lord said, Cain, why are you so angry? Why do you look sad, depressed, and dejected? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Again, I preach this, but for some of you new people, the word accepted, a few years ago, I looked it up. I said, what does the word accepted mean? And it literally means, in the Greek, it means to be promoted in rank or character. So I said to the Holy Spirit, I said, sir, does it say rank or character instead of rank and character? And he spoke right back to me. He says, Cain had the rank. He was the oldest brother, but he lacked the character. He was the one responsible to take the lead for his brother, the lead of his love for God, his worship of God, and his service to God. Cain was called to do that, and he failed miserably. Why? Because he was entertaining the wrong thoughts. So why didn't Cain fess up to God and make the inward adjustments? Because God says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? Why? Why didn't Cain respond to that? Because, well, he could have, or God would not have wasted his time confronting him. However, Cain willed to exalt his own will above God's. It's called stubbornness. It's called pride. It's called rebellion. And it really, isn't it interesting? It never says anything about what his brother did. It never says anything about Abel's, that whole relationship, the whole challenge in the relationship. Why? Because I believe, Abel knew there was a problem. Yes, Abel knew there was contention between them, but he refused to yield to it. That's why he had right standing with God, even unto death. If you do well, if you do not do well, verse 7, sin crouches at your door. Its desires for you, and you must master it. It, what? His embittered attitude and his rebellious heart. Verse 9, Cain said to his brother, let us go out into the field. When they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where's Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the sad part about it is, yes, we are. We are a brother's keeper. The word keeper means to hedge about as with thorns, to guard, to protect, to attend to. Now watch this, very interesting when you think about to hedge about as with thorns, guard, protect, attend to, beware. Here's an interesting quote of the Hebrew. It says, to take heed to self, keeper of self, observe, preserve, regard, save self, watchman. What that all means is that, see, we are the keeper of ourselves. We're the keeper of the spiritual real estate called the heart. The soil to which everything goes in, whether it's a good thing or a thing of offense, it all goes in and starts growing. And how do you deal with that? How do you get rid of that? Through a heart of repentance and then not yield to it again. See, if you keep bringing things up that happened years ago, that doesn't help anything. How many times can I repent? How many times can I repent and get forgiven for it? That's what you have to ask. I mean, that becomes such a great problem in relationships, especially marriages. Do what Jesus said, let it go and let it drop and let God heal it. Can I have an amen? Verse 10, the Lord said, no, I'm almost done here, I'm winding down. And the Lord said, Cain, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed by reason of the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth in perpetual exile, a degraded outcast. What a price to pay for rebellion. And that was never to be God's will for his life. He chose that. He chose his destiny by not remaining intimate with God and by not managing his own heart, his own thoughts, and his own words. Now I'm winding this up in 1 John 3. Why? Because isn't it interesting how the beloved John uses Cain when he's preaching on the subject of love? Here it is, 1 John 3, verse 9. Now, no one born or begotten of God deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin, for God's nature abides in him. His principle of life, the divine sperm, remains permanently within him, and he cannot practice sinning because he is born and begotten of God. Now, stop for a moment. How many understand that Cain was not born again? Right? He wasn't born again. So we give him some slack. However, not much, because God still held him accountable for his choices. Then he goes on, by this it is made clear, watch this, who take their nature from God and are his children, and who take their nature from the devil and are his children. Okay, now let me stop again, just to help remind every one of you, because that's why we have a church. We have a church, not all the glorious ones that don't do anything wrong gather together. No, we have a church because all of us need fixing somewhere, repair somewhere in our lives on a weekly basis. That's why we come together. Amen. I like that. I like reminding people of that. Why? Because when we get new people in our church and they're sitting there and they're hurting and they're facing all sorts of immense problems, they can feel welcomed that every one of us can identify with whatever they're going through. Because we still live in these Adamic natures where all sin is expressed. Now, none of you married such a sweet person as my wife did. But I'm just saying, it's just. Let's go on. Watch this. No one who does not practice righteousness, who does not conform to God's will in purpose, thought, and action is of God. Neither is anyone who does not love his brother, his fellow believer in Christ. He's tying that all together. He's saying, hey, the person that doesn't even have God in his life and he's taking the nature of the devil, he said, the brother that doesn't love his brother takes on the same nature. For this is the message, the announcement, which you have heard from the first, the King James says, from the beginning, that we should love one another and not be. We could be, we can be, if you want to be, but not be like Cain, who took his nature and God as motivation. And that stood out for me one day when I read that. He took. You can't have something until you first take it. Or you didn't have it before you took it. So he took. He took his nature and God as motivation from the evil one and slew his brother. But why? 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 Because his deeds, his activities, his works were wicked, malicious, and his brothers were righteous. The Message Bible says, why did he kill him? Because he was deep in the practice of evil while the acts of his brother were righteous. Very interesting. It didn't say the acts of his brother were perfect, never did anything wrong. It's that he yielded to what was right. Abel yielded to what that was right. What was right? Love his brother, forgive him, stay in peace, stay in love. Can I have an amen? Amen. You can have the musicians come forward, so I'm finished. Put that quote up. It changed my life years ago. This quote I got from Ed Cole, and here it is. Love gives at the expense of self to benefit others, while lust takes at the expense of others to benefit self. Love gives at the expense of self to benefit others, while lust takes at the expense of others to benefit self. Is that well said or what? It's exactly true. So I want to pray for all of you tonight. In fact, stand up. That may be nice for you to stand, stretch a little bit, and we're not going to. But I want to pray for you. Amen. You remember that time I told you many times? See, so many of you have heard these same stories, but they're number one, they're true. Number two, they're impacting. Someone did odd against both Vicky and I. It had to do with business. We ended up having to pay a debt of theirs. It took us 7 years to pay that off. As I'm mauling on this down the road in my Suburban one day, thinking about it, I didn't have a Suburban then. My station wagon, probably. And I was mulling it over in my mind. The precious, precious Lord spoke to me. And again, inside, but it was as audible as this, but inside. He said, "You forgive him." And I mean, when you hear that, you either have to have a very hard heart to resist it, or my goodness, I mean, immediately my response, "Yes, yes, sir. Yes, Lord, I forgive him. I forgive him." And then I said, "But Lord, how do I forgive him?" He said, "By faith." By faith. Feelings had nothing to do with it. It's your faith. It's you exercising your faith and letting things go that have become a problem for you in your relationships. Let it go. Let it drop. There's an awesome singer years ago. Her name is Jackie. I wrote it down. Yeah, Jackie DeShawn. And she wrote a song in 65. And it says, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of." Raise your hand if anybody's heard that song before. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's beautiful. Because that's a beautiful song. What the world needs now in love is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. So I just want you to know that when you exercise and will each day to walk in love, bridle your tongue when you think you're going to want to say something that's going to really deteriorate the situation, make it worse. You bite your tongue, don't say anything. Then the Holy Ghost will tell you something to say that'll be inspiring and healing rather than divisive. If you agree, say amen. But I love, Pastor Vicky does too. We love all of you very much and just want God's very best for your lives. So we don't want to set a trap. We don't want to set a scandal up for the enemy to attack our lives and take the precious life of God away from us. I'm just simply talking about the character of God. Bow your head if you would. I will pray for you. Thank you, Lord. How many here tonight said, "Pastor, that message spoke to me and I sure could use some prayer in regards to my love walk, my relationships. And would you pray for me?" Just lift your hands. I'll pray for you. Anybody? Yeah, hands up all over. And I know that because every day it's a journey of faith. Every day there's attacks going on. But in Jesus' name, we're not going to give place to the devil. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless you tonight. Oh, just lift your hands. Begin to worship him. First of all, worship him that he loves you. Worship him that he gives you the power to repent, the power to let things go by faith. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, I pray tonight for this precious family. And Lord, God of heaven, I know, God, that maybe there's people here tonight that are really hurting inside because they have been betrayed or they've been hurt deeply, God. Oh, Father, just I pray for them right now that right now in their hearts, they'll say, "Lord, by faith, I let that thing go." If that's you, just say that in your heart. "Lord, I let that go in Jesus' name. I choose to let it go. I choose to let it go. I refuse to let it take root in the name of Jesus. I choose the love walk. I choose it in Jesus' name." So, Father, thank you that you hear the cry of the hearts of your people. And I pray tonight over every relationship right now, first of all, for marriages, that God of heaven, you will bring such a balm of healing to every marriage relationship. Amen. If you're married, your spouse is by you, put their hand on their shoulder or grab them. And Father, I pray for every precious marriage and then all these the relationships that we have here tonight, God, that you bring healing. I know, God, healing. Yeah, healing in relationships, Father, that some are even cousins and uncles and aunts, God, that there be a healing in Jesus' precious name. We believe for that, God. And Lord God, for us, anyone here that's been hurt, we let it go. We let it go. We let it go. We let it go in Jesus' name. We're not going to harbor hurt. We're not going to cultivate that in our hearts. We're going to let it go and let God have his way and bring healing to it. Now, everybody lift your hands and thank him for that. Now, Father, I pray for sibling relationships. that God, you bring healing. Amen. Healing in Jesus' name to every one of our brothers and sisters, God, our families, Lord. Thank you, God. Bring healing, God, to siblings and parents, parents to siblings, God. Oh, Father, may love flow like never before, that we would become a church so full of the love of God that, God, it will increase the anointing, hallelujah, in our church and in our congregation, and especially in those that come to join us, God, that are seeking for the truth. And, Father, we thank you now for that in Jesus' name. And everyone say amen. Amen. Now give God a good clap offering if you really did receive from the Lord tonight. Amen. Come on, praise him. Lord, praise him. Hallelujah. Look up and praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning services at 8:30 and 10:30. We also have a midweek service on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.